This morning I'm reading from the Gospel of John, from the 9th chapter. This is a very familiar story, but let's see if we can hear something new in this story. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded, and he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The word of God for us, the people of God. Jesus picks up mud and makes a clay with his spittle to place it in the blind man's eyes. I guess we can all be thankful that we live in this time of history, because for the ancients, the spittle of a holy man was considered to have medicinal properties. It was considered to be therapeutic. So Jesus was truly offering the medical treatment of his time. But as I think about Jesus placing mud in the blind man's eyes, it brings to my mind God's hands picking up and shaping and forming the earth to create humankind. For me, this story is a creation story. God, in the form of Jesus, has offered this blind man an opportunity through him, through relationship with Jesus, to become a new creation. The man is blind since birth. He has nothing in his hands to offer. He's been sitting by the gate begging. The townsfolk ask, "Isn't this the same man that used to sit and beg?" Well, the good news today is that this God of ours claims and loves all those with absolutely nothing in their hands. How are we to understand the reality of our situation so that we can respond to God's grace? So often we have our hands full and we are holding on tightly to the things we want or the things that we think are best for us. Now, this is true for both each of us as individuals, but it's also true for the community of faith. How are we to see our circumstances clearly? How is the church called to become a new creation? How is Wesley United Methodist Church to respond to God's grace to become the new creation that God is calling us to be? Well, here's the background on John's gospel. The community at that point in time was in the midst of extreme difficulty. John's gospel was recorded, according to most scholars, between 90 and 100 AD. And at this time, the synagogue was rejecting anyone who confessed Jesus as their Savior. Christians were being sent out of the synagogue. For the Christian community that was forced to leave the synagogue, this felt like divorce. Imagine all your life is centered on God and on the community and the laws that allowed you to remain clean, the community where your relationship with God was sustained, rich prayer and worship, feasts and celebrations, rich traditions throughout the year were the basis for life in this community. And it is likely that this separation, the rejection of Christians from the synagogue, divided even families. Well, John's gospel, more than any other, uses sign and symbol. Was the blind man a symbol for the community that would allow itself to be engaged with Jesus Christ? Was the blind man a metaphor for those who would enter into relationship with Jesus? A community that would go where they were sent and become a new creation? When asked why this man was born blind, the scriptures say that he was born blind so that his life could reveal the glory of God. Sounds a lot like God's work of creation, doesn't it? Bringing glory to God, the new creation bringing glory to God, all of creation bringing glory to God. We think of creation as something that happened billions of years ago. We think of creation as that thing in Genesis, right, that we read in that very first chapter. But the reality is that creation continues through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. That the same breath, the same ruah that was held over the vast waters during the very beginning of creation, that same breath of God continues through the power of the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus to the church. That the church is to be an ongoing message of new creation, of new possibility, of transformation, so that the world can see love and grace and faithfulness of God. Is this gospel encouraging the church to see things differently, to become a new creation in order to reveal the glory of God? How many of us have had some kind of difficulty or upset in our life, a painful experience, only to find out later that the lost promotion or the argument with the family member or maybe even the unplanned surgery actually offered you more than it took away? That somehow the difficult circumstances were inviting you to something new? You know, we too start out with mud in our eyes, only to learn that God's grace is available in ways that we didn't understand at first, we didn't see at first. Jesus always gives us a choice. We are not forced, but we have free will to respond to grace. We have free will to respond to God's grace. I want to take just a minute to consider with you the parables that Jesus taught about those who don't respond to grace, those who weren't ready to become a new creation. Okay, we've got the parable of the lepers, right? There were the 10 lepers. They were healed. They were cleansed by Jesus. And none of them took off down the road. And the 10th leper, only one leper, came back with gratitude to thank Jesus. That one leper was a Samaritan, a foreigner, wasn't even a proper Jew. He returns to thank Jesus, and Jesus' comment is, "Your faith has made you well." The 9 lepers who didn't respond to the grace are never heard from again in that story. Or how about in Matthew's gospel, the young rich ruler? Actually, that story is told in 3 gospels, so it's an important story. The story of this young rich ruler who refuses to respond to the grace of Jesus Christ. He refuses to respond to a relationship with Jesus, and he goes away sadly, it says, because he had great wealth and he couldn't respond to this grace of Jesus Christ, giving away what he had to the poor in order to follow Jesus. There were those who didn't show up for the wedding banquet. Remember that story? They didn't respond to the grace of this invitation that had been offered to them. They didn't show up at the wedding banquet. They were too busy with their own pursuits for a relationship with God. There was one who didn't wear a wedding clothing to the banquet. You know what that means? The wedding clothing? That wedding clothing is symbolic of the baptismal robe. This person that showed up at the feast hadn't confessed the King as his Savior, refused to respond to the grace that was offered him. Then there was the one who buried the talent. Do you remember that story? Does anyone say yes? Remember burying the guy who buried the talent, right? Had given this great gift by Jesus, had everything to use, new possibilities could come. And he did nothing with the gift that was given to him. There was no possibility for any new creation happening in his life by setting that gift aside and not using it. How many of us set aside our gifts and don't use them to respond to the grace of God that has been given in our lives? Aside from these parables, there's one other story in the scriptures that speaks to one who did not respond to God's grace. There were 3 men on the hill in Calvary, and the two criminals that hung on crosses beside Jesus. And the one of them starts hurling insults, crying out, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us," refusing again to respond to the grace of Jesus' presence with him. Now, all of us have probably had many moments of refusing to respond to God's grace, and we understand these lessons well. And here's the good news. God's love and grace is so persistent and mighty that he will come back for us again and offer us an opportunity again, that we will be invited again and again and again, because God wants us more than anything else. God wants us to see the new creation that he intends for our lives. So when Jesus asked this blind man to go to the pool of Siloam, the blind man responds. He goes. Imagine trying to get somewhere with mud in your eyes. Imagine that. He had never seen his village before. How did he get to the pool of Siloam? He's been blind all his life. And yet, he steps out. He steps forward, he responds to the grace, and he goes to the pool of Siloam and washes and receives his sight. Here's the thing. We may still be blind when we are asked to respond to God and we are to go on faith alone. We may have no clue where we are headed, but we only know enough just to take the next step. Listen to that, Wesley Church. We go on faith alone. The Pool of Siloam in Jerusalem was a very important landmark. Its source was a water spring called the Virgin's Fountain. And the Virgin's Fountain was this beautiful fountain that was located outside the city walls. So it was outside the city of Jerusalem. You see, water has always been a problem in Jerusalem. The Virgin's Fountain was an open spring, and in the event of a military coup, it would be cut off. The whole entire water supply for Jerusalem would be cut off because it existed outside the city walls. So during Hezekiah's reign, which was somewhere in the 6th century, after David and Solomon, they were there were perhaps after those two kings, there were perhaps only two good kings in all of Israel's history, and one of them was Hezekiah. So you ought to remember Hezekiah. He was known for his temple reforms. He was a good king. He was thinking ahead for the benefit of the people, and he was faithful to God. So during Hezekiah's reign, engineers began digging a tunnel to bring the water that was outside the city into the city. And this tunnel, had it been dug as the crow flies, it would have been about 366 yards. But because of the fault lines or the sacred grounds that were located there, the engineers zigzagged that tunnel back and forth for a full 583 yards. It is 2 feet wide, and in some places, it is 6 feet high. An amazing piece of human work done without the benefit of today's machinery, done without dynamite. Imagine that. A conduit that was dug by human hands. In 1880, archaeologists found a tablet commemorating the completion of this conduit by those who had helped dig it. The water, when released from the Virgin's Fountain, arrived at the Pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The water was sent by this hand-dug conduit into Jerusalem, for God sent his only Son. We are a sent people. God wants us to respond to God's invitation. God wants us to become a new creation. Water is that symbol for grace. And it was the source of the water that was inaccessible. And the hand-dug conduit released the waters within those city walls. Jesus Christ is the conduit. He is the living water for God's grace to flow. And the living God has the ability to recover our sight. But we must respond to God. We must go to the place where God sends us. For some, this might mean we are sent out on mission. Some of us are sent to serve in schools and businesses. Some of us are sent to serve in prisons. Some of us are sent to write letters to lawmakers or government agencies. Some of us might be sent back to our very families, returning to them to offer the grace of relationship. But wherever we are sent, we need only go one step at a time. Just as Jesus first placed the mud in the blind man's eyes and then sent him to the pool to wash, we respond to Jesus just a step at a time, until we can see more clearly. Perhaps there's a hand-dug conduit where water flows through friendship and prayer, through the care and support of our families, through those who serve in our community, for those who serve in our church. Perhaps the waters of grace are available to us through a conduit of human hands as well. I look forward to learning with you about the conduit of grace that God intends to flow through Wesley United Methodist Church in the years ahead. But let's take our next step totally in faith, on faith alone, and maybe the mud will be washed from our eyes, and we too will become God's new creation. Amen.